little detour from the book of Acts, and we're going to go to Isaiah 66, and we're going to look at that verse again that we read from the bulletin. However, I want you to see it for yourself, and we're going to stand as we read it. Isaiah 66. And we're just going to look at verse number 12 and 13, but we're going to focus in on just a small portion of 13. But I want to give you a little bit of the context. And this is what it says: "For thus says the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse, you shall be carried upon her hip, and bounced upon her knees. As a one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you for this time now, Lord, that we're going to go into your word. We just pray, Lord God, that you would speak to our hearts and help us to see who you are and how it is that you would want to reveal yourself to us. We thank you this morning on this Mother's Day that we can look at you and see you as having a mother heart. And we're thankful for that, Lord, as we experience the love of our mothers and the comfort of our mothers, Lord, then we know and we can see who you are. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. The Jewish rabbis used to say, tongue in cheek, that since God couldn't be everywhere, he created mothers. And I think it's interesting that mother can be almost anything and do anything, but not anyone can be a mother. Right? Now, everybody here in this service today has been impacted and influenced by a mother. And I want to say and give a shout out, because I know my mother will be listening to this sermon later today, as down in Mexico, down there. She always tells me, "Oh, send me the link." And so I do. And so I want to say happy Mother's Day to her, Eva. And I am incredibly grateful to God for the mother that he gave me. She has been an example and exemplary all of my life and has never failed me in any way at any time and has comforted me, as we read today in Isaiah 66, in ways that only a mother can. However, over the years and the times when I have preached this sermon, I've come to understand with conversations with people afterwards that not everyone has experienced a positive relationship with their mothers. And in my ignorance, the first couple of times I preached this sermon, I was just gung-ho about positive motherhood. Then I realized, and also because I work with children in a high school level, that perhaps you have not had a positive or a good relationship with your mother. But I will say this: it doesn't change the fact that someone may have or is a mother figure in your life, if you just take the time to think about it. Someone, an aunt, a friend, a teacher, a sister, right? Someone, maybe a lady at church, someone has been motherly to you in a positive way. Amen? Can I get an agreement there? And the tragedy is that, yes, some may have lost their mothers maybe to death at young age or older age. May not have experienced that. Maybe some mothers were not fit. And I understand that there may be children that have been removed from the care of their mothers for those reasons. I get it. But that doesn't change the fact that someone, if you take the time to consider and think about it, someone has been a mother figure to you. Mothers play a very important role in a healthy society. God has set it up in that the family is the foundation of a healthy society, and in that family, mothers play a very important role. If we were to consider the different things that mothers do, they should all earn a six-figure salary. I mean, I'm just going to take a little stab at it from here. For instance, mothers are those that comfort their children, as we looked at our text. So they're like counselors. I don't know, and depending on the severity of the child's needs, they could be psychologists, right? Mothers are, and to borrow from the trend right now, mothers are Uber drivers, right? Take their kids here, there, and everywhere. Maybe you're a baseball mom or a soccer mom, or maybe your child is in band or whatever it might be. There you go. Here, there, and everywhere. Mothers are chefs. Man, I tell you. If you got yourself a Mexican mom, you got yourself some really good cooking. And I'm biased toward Mexican food, so I get to say it. No, I'm not saying that other mothers, right? Other mothers are not good cooks if they don't happen to be Mexican like mine. But anyway, you know, those enchiladas are always good, right? What else does a mother do? Mother is a domestic custodial and maintenance person. I'll put it that way. It sounds terrible to say that they're cleaning. Mothers also happen to be accountants as they manage the household. And I may be missing a few things here, but as the top of my head, as I think about it, imagine they would have to pay them for each one of those jobs. Right? We're talking about mothers today, not fathers. Don't look at me that way, dads. But I think we can establish that they play a very important role, but especially as teachers. They're the first teachers of a child. They're also the moral voice, generally speaking, in the household for the child. They have a lot of important roles. You know, Ephesians 6, and because of that, because of all those different tasks that they fulfill, I think Paul was right on when he said to the children in Ephesians 6, 2 and 3, honor your father and mother, to honor them, which is the first commandment with a promise. There's actually benefits for children that will honor their mothers. What is that benefit? If you ever see someone where everything is going well with them and they have long life, they probably honor their parents. Because the promise from Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 is honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. This is the Lord making a promise. That it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. So there's a benefit from God to honor your mother. Now, my aim in this sermon is to honor mothers then, obviously. And in this way, we also glorify our Lord Jesus Christ, who designed mothers and created them. And blessed motherhood. By his very incarnation, he came to this earth through Mary, his mother. He blessed her womb, if you will, and blessed it also by his words, that is the motherhood relationship. He also blessed it from the cross when he told John, as he was hanging on that cross, with his very last words, in one of the most beautiful acts of final care for his mother Mary, when he said to John, behold your mother. Think about it. He's suffering on that cross. He has little life left. And he sees John next to his mother. And what is he doing by saying, "Behold your mother"? He's not abandoning her and leaving her to fend for herself. I mean, what an honor Christ gives to his mother and to all mothers. Amen? I mean, that's a given. When he would be doing that and saying that at that moment. He's not thinking of himself. You know? He's thinking about honoring his mother, and he does so when he tells John, take care of her. And it's true, as we develop this, that God speaks to us in terms of being our Father. Right? Jesus came on the scene, that is, when he came and he taught us during his ministry to pray, saying, "Our Father, which is in heaven." We get the idea that Jesus teaches his disciples and he teaches us in the scriptures to talk to God as a father. We know that. The Apostle Paul tells the Galatians that they are children and that the Spirit, that is, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts that we can cry out, "Abba, Father." Okay, so I'm not trying to take away from the fact that we also identify God as our Father, and rightfully so. But I'm going to take a little twist here. I'm going to move into a different direction. As Christians, we realize that this paternal metaphor is a revelation of God's nature and character. But this morning, with the verse that we read out of Isaiah, where it says, "As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you." This is the Lord speaking through the prophet Isaiah to Israel. And he says, like one who comforts his mother comforts. So if you have been comforted by your mother at some level, God's like that. That's what he's saying. I'm like a mother also. You guys are looking at me kind of strange. The Bible says it. This is a simile. As one whom his mother comforts. Like one whom his mother comforts, I, the Lord, will comfort you. So the sermon this morning is interesting because what I would label it or title it is the mother heart of Father God. Oh. The mother heart of Father God. He has motherly attributes also based on this verse. This verse gives me permission to say that. We readily and easily perceive him as a father, but will he also be a mother to us or like one? The imagery here is beautiful. The maternal metaphor is clear. He, that is, God, acts the mother's role. Because he has chosen in this scripture to Israel in a time when they're looking for comfort, feeling that they had been abandoned by God. He says, "No, I haven't. As a mother comforts, so I will comfort you." So God is acting the mother part here. And so he reveals to us his full nature and character are his attributes that, yes, we agree he is a mother figure, but guess what? He also identifies himself, we agree that he identifies himself as a father figure, but we also can see that he identifies himself in maternal ways. Comfort. Now, let's kind of go back a little bit. Mothers. Damn, they have that special touch, don't they? As a woman and as a mother. Genesis 1:27 says that God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. So the mother, the woman who's a mother, who can be a mother, God created those attributes, those characteristics that are good in a mother. We're talking about the good characteristics, because as sinners, mothers also have bad characteristics, don't they? As human beings, we have bad characteristics. We also have reflected in our image the image of God. We are a mirror of the Lord in the good-natured things. So any good characteristic found in a mom reveals that quality that's also found in God. You know, right? Any admirable quality found in a mother communicates to us what God is like. Wow. Wow. And he's much more. Because mothers, like fathers, can fail us, but not God. Whatever good quality we see in our mothers, that's the good ones. Man, what a blessing for me then. Because then I have a greater understanding of who God is through the love and the compassion and the comfort of my mother. God is that and much more. I can multiply it out who knows how many times. Amen? Modern thinking, though, would want us to think of God as simply just powerful and strong and aggressive and masculine, but that's not true based on this verse. We also can see him as nourishing and tender and sensitive, as revealed in our text this morning, as it says there, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. So God is also tender and sensitive and understanding. Yeah, usually when a kid falls on the ground and scrapes his knee, the father will hover over him and, "Get up, boy. Ain't nothing happened to you. I don't see no blood, no blood, no foul, no harm," to borrow from Chick Hearn, the Lakers broadcaster for many years. "I don't see blood, you must be okay." Mothers, though, will run to the child that has fallen on the ground and scraped his or her knee, and they'll go, "Oh, poor baby. Right? Thank God for that, right? Instead of the harsh, strong, and we need both. In the scope of our humanity, there are moments where we need to be strong and aggressive and masculine. And then there are times where we need that nourishing, tender, sensitive mom. Right? Now, the Bible and modern thinking are on a direct collision course. And these male and female distinctions have been distorted. I would say perverted. And so the roles traditionally for men and women are being redefined. Right? I don't need to go too far with that. It's evident everywhere. You even try and make laws to promote that thinking. However, I think it's important for us to realize that that's not what God originally intended. And Satan always attempts to blur reality and to diminish the male and female roles. Nobody's talking about here whether or not one is more important than the other, or that whether one is not as equal to the other. He created both female and male. They're equal. Just have different roles and different characteristics, different traits, as we're discussing this morning. So, for instance, when we look at our text, the Bible is very clear. As one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you. Jehovah of the Old Testament identifies himself as a mom. He's affectionate, he's caring, he's gentle, he's warm, he's kind, just like a mom. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm just going to go through them for you. You can write them down if you like. The the verse. It's 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Compassionate and comforting. Who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we may comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. He identifies himself as a comforter. Like a mom. As a matter of fact, in John 14, 26, he calls the Holy Spirit the comforter. That is one of the titles of the Holy Spirit. But the comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said to you. So the Holy Spirit is identified by Jesus as a comforter. And what does he do? He teaches in all things and bring things to our remembrance. I can't know of anyone more who would teach me and bring to my remembrance things more than my mother. Matter of fact, I still open doors today for ladies of cars and wherever it is I'm going into and out of because I still hear her voice. Those are characteristics of a mother, right? Teacher, the first teacher we have. Matthew 23:37 says something really interesting. This, of course, is Jesus' final expression of grief as he looks over Jerusalem, just literally hours before he is betrayed and he is crucified. He looks over Jerusalem, he says this, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I, Jesus, wanted to gather your children together as a hen, a mother, gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing." Who does Jesus say he identifies himself as he looks at Jerusalem and he sees the future of Jerusalem, how that Jerusalem will be ransacked by Rome at some point for turning their back on God. He said, "I wish I could have, like a mother hen, had gathered you under my wings." To what? To protect you as a hen, as a mother. So Jesus himself uses a characteristic of a mother hen to gather her chicks. Now, he indicates that they had plenty of opportunities, that is, Jerusalem, to repent, and he had made countless invitations for them to draw near and to be saved. However, they rejected his offer, and that's also part of motherhood, isn't it? Sometimes our children will turn their backs on you, in spite of the fact that you would rather protect them as he would, by asking or wanting them to run for cover under her wings. Interesting, huh? You don't get this in any many churches. A guy would boldly say to you that God the Father has a mother heart. Yeah, what an honor for mothers. We discover also that Jesus has great feelings, doesn't he? Because he cries out, "Oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem." His emotions. And then when we attribute emotions to one of the genders, who do we generally go to? Moms, to the female. It tends to be more of a female or characteristics of a woman, emotions. And there's Jesus crying out as he looks over Jerusalem, knowing its future, her future, and he expresses his emotions. God's emotional. His emotions, remember, if we have them, he has them, because we're made in his image. So Jesus, he had these great feelings and emotions for his lost children that would soon be destroyed because of their unwillingness to, as chicks or as his children, to gather under his wings for protection. Isaiah 49:14 says this. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. Israel thought that God had forsaken them, never wanting to acknowledge that because of their disobedience and rebellion, rebellious hearts, he didn't turn away from them, they turned away from him. Kind of like the story of the prodigal father. The father didn't kick the son out. The son left voluntarily, looking for what he thought was a better life than that in his home. So, in Isaiah 49:14, the prophet says, but Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me or abandoned me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Israel believed that God had abandoned, forsaken, and forgotten them. And here's the answer. Can a mother forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. And look how the prophet, speaking inspired of the Holy Spirit, the mind of the Lord says, yet I will not forget you. So who does he compare himself to? That is the Lord Jehovah. To a mother who can't forget his nursing child and continues to have compassion on her son or her children of her womb. The Lord is the one saying that. Amen? Israel had been complaining, as I said, that God had forgotten them. And they were accusing him of abandoning them in Babylon. Remember, they went into exile. However, Isaiah the prophet announces here that he could never forget them, as a woman has compassion for the son of her womb. So yeah, as one whom his mother comforts, so I will comfort you, says the Lord. That was beautiful, isn't it? The mother heart of Father God. And those of you that have had the experience of that kind of love from your mother or a mother figure, as I said, then you know the heart of God. You know it has been revealed to you, and you have experienced one of the beautiful traits of our Lord. So in those moments, you as children of God, when you need that comfort, we need someone to encourage you, to support you, to listen to you, to pat you on the back, to say, it's going to be okay. I know. Don't worry, honey. That is not just your mother speaking to you. That is your God speaking to you. Because he's that and much, much more. And where our mothers and fathers, if you will, in spite of their great love for you, they're still limited because of their humanity, because of sin. Is it that Jesus says that if you ask your father for a fish or bread, will he give you a stone and a snake? If your fathers, being sinners, will give you what you ask for, how much more will your Father in heaven make provision? Who has no limitations or weaknesses, who knows it all and what's best for you before you would ever even realize it, who has the hair of your head counted and numbered, right? Who knows your thoughts before you think them or say them, and yet he still loves you. And I tell the Lord all the time, I'm so sorry for thinking that. And you know what I'm thinking. And yet we're still standing because of his grace and his mercy and his long-suffering and his patience. So mothers, enjoy who you are. Be all that you are. No apologies necessary. God made you that way. Love your children with all that you are, so that they, by experiencing your love, know who God the Mother is, our Heavenly Mother. Pastor, that's blasphemy. No, it ain't. It's Bible. It's biblical. Not taken away from all the other understanding that we have from the Scriptures, but focusing and honoring today those traits and characteristics that God placed in motherhood. And I am so grateful, and I honor you today. Amen. The Lord richly bless you.